Have your Bibles, and we could stand together and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5.
Thank you.
May God really bless you on this Resurrection Sunday. Come alive, be alive. Mm-hmm. Know that there's a reason to live. Romans, chapter 5, reading verses 19 through 21. The Bible says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray one more time. Jesus, again, we love you. We thank you for our Easter Sunday. We thank you, God, for the privilege we have to hear your word. God, for our ears to be quickened, our hearts, God, to be touched, and our minds to be stirred. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, "If It Wasn't for Calvary." If it wasn't for Calvary. It was a midweek church service when the pastor opened up the mic and he offered to those who would like to come and to share their testimony. After all, it was Easter time, you know. When it was Jesus who was about to hang on the cross, for it was he, Jesus, who died for our sins and then rose again. The first person to come was an older man, a man who had been in the church for a long time. As he took the microphone and he looked out towards the congregation, as his hands shook and his eyes filled with tears, he uttered the words, "If it wasn't for Calvary." How many among us are there who in a flash of a moment could not journey in our minds to the time before God, prior to your finding your way to a church house and finally to an altar where it was you who bared your soul and who poured out your heart in a prayer? Now maybe you did this, you know, you prayed to God, to a God that you never prayed to before. Maybe it was you who never had from the depths of your soul spilled your guts, as it was you who cried out to God for forgiveness. "I know you don't know me," but oh yes, he did. "I know you've never heard my voice before," he was just waiting to hear it, "but I want you to forgive me, and I want you to know that I want my life to be changed. I want my destiny to be altered." You know, having said this today, I wonder, does anyone here listening in know what I'm talking to you about? You know what I'm talking about today? For what it is that I'm talking to you about today is the fact that if it wasn't for Calvary, even on this very day, where would you and where would I be? Before us today, as well as those who are listening in, are former alcoholics, and the congregation who gathers together each week are former drug addicts, fornicators, some who may have lived a life of a thief, and some among us were liars. In the realm of those and people that referred to as being saved, you know, are those who at one time lived immoral lives, and yet if you were to look at us and at them today, you would be the one who would say, "I don't believe it. You couldn't have done that. There's no way. Look at you." But I'm here today to say to all of you under the sound of my voice, oh yes, but it is, it was, and it used to be true. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans, chapter 3, in verse number 23. The book of Romans, chapter 3, in verse 23. He writes, "For all have sinned and have come short for the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it's Paul who writes, "There's none righteous, no, not one." So what the Apostle Paul was declaring was the fact that no one earned the right to their salvation by the means of their family heritage, nor by their social status in life, neither by the number of good deeds that they have done or had attributed to them throughout their lives. Well, I helped an old lady across the street. I gave this guy in the park with no money and gave him $5. I took that person's shift at work. Good for you. They didn't earn you a right to salvation. In fact, it was David himself who, in the book of Psalms 51, the book of Psalms chapter 51 and verse 5, David writes, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." See, what it is that I'm attempting to bring across to you this afternoon is whoever you are and wherever it is that you have come from or are currently in or living in your life, all of us, including you, have only one way to come before God's throne, before that throne of grace, and that is by none other but by the way of the cross. I can't skirt it. I can't put extra money in the offering plate. I can't buddy up with a pastor or maybe some of the deacons and elders in the church. No, I can't do that. It's not going to get me anywhere. But I got to find my way to an altar. I got to bend a knee before the cross. And I got to tell the God that you told maybe years ago, not too long ago, how I'm sorry for my sins and that I want to be changed. In the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Apostle Paul writes, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." See, if it wasn't for Calvary, all hope of redemption of the sins of mankind would have been gone. If Jesus had not come and had not been willing or allowed himself to be nailed upon that old rugged cross for the sins of the fallen mankind, I want you to know this afternoon that waiting for all of us would be and would have been that of a devil's hell, where the Bible emphatically declares, "Wherein their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Look it up in Mark 9:44, Mark 9:46, and Mark 9:48. Instead of our being the ones who attain the opportunity of there or our spending an eternity in a place of paradise with God, if it wasn't for Calvary. See, church, saints of God, this Easter Sunday, it is we who are privileged to hear the gospel message of salvation as is recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 2:38 and 2:39. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is for you and for your children, for all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I, as a witness to that of my own life, I stand before you today to declare, if it wasn't for Calvary, where would I be? Living a life in a world without God. You know, to some it might appear to have its benefits. You know, I get to do what I want, go where I want, be how I want, live like I want. But for them and to they who accept such a stand when life, their life, when your life is over and it's you who's called to stand before God, you had chosen in your earthly life not to serve nor to live for God, then what I ask you today is, what then will your eternal regret be? I'd have been dead at 24 years old. I could have died in a car accident, in a drunken condition. I could have ended up in a drug ward, in an overdose clinic. I wasn't lily white. I wasn't living a life. Well, how about you? If it wasn't for Calvary, If it wasn't for God stopping you in your tracks along your path and saying, don't go that way, follow me. Where would you be? What eternal regret would there be? It's James who writes in the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 14. The book of James, chapter 4 and verse 14, the second portion. Here he writes, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Today I believe that there are among us thousands of souls who misunderstand the very mercy of God. Meaning it is they who consider having to live their lives for God is for them to have to accept a life of bondage and that of any number of restrictions in their life. Yet when instead and by people not living their lives for God, it's for them it's to miss really real living. You know, kicking up your heels on a dance floor in a barroom is not living, it's rather dying. For it is here under the presence of Almighty God as the Shekinah glory, my friend, of God falls, and when the voices of souls who worship their God is what ascends before God's throne of grace, and the power of God and His Word and the glory of God is what begins to fall. That, my friend, is real living. So when you stand there and you begin almost to vibrate in your seat as you, with your hands up, and you feel that warmth kind of coursing through your body, you see, that's what brings life. When you walk out and you feel changed and you feel redirected, and your heart and your life have got purpose, and you're not left in your path, that's real living. It's what I'm trying to say is there's nothing like the cleansing rain that falls from glory. As it what offers to the weary and to the searching the fullness of its refreshing and that renewing to their tired and their weary soul. See, being the one who feels forgiven, whose sins are washed away in baptism in Jesus' name, experiencing the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon you as it is that heavenly language that flows from within your belly as the rivers of living water pour out. Let me tell you all this day that this is what awaits they who in their lives who choose the straight and narrow way, and along with this the promise of their living an eternity with the God who died on Calvary. You see, Jesus, the one who shed his blood for you, Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ, the righteous God from glory. We sit here as children of God. We sit here and the Bible talks about being kings and priests with God. We sit here and we bask in the presence of God. We've had our sins washed away. We don't look back and say, you know, I used to be shooting up in the corner. I remember getting drunk at that party. No, I got drunk in God and I lifted up my hands and I was slain out in the Spirit. I can tell you today of the glory that come down from heaven and it consumed my soul. Around our world every day, souls from every walk of life are making their way to where the Spirit of God dwells. And it is they who are not looking for a dead religion, but it's instead they are seeking to give their lives to a resurrected living Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe that more than ever before, people are looking for what can satisfy their soul, not only soothe their conscience. What it is that this world needs is not another denomination, but a life-changing gospel, one that carries within it eternal qualities, a gospel that takes the sinner and transforms them into a people that of a child of God, which they can be. The songwriter writes the song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Today, church, and my friends, on this day is Jesus Christ who's looking for those who in their lives who have and will decide to stop long enough to start looking for Him. What are you looking for today? Even in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of people dying all around us, what are you looking for today? What is it in your heart that you're... What answer are you looking for to your life? There is only one answer. There's only one way, there's only one truth, and there's only one life. There's only one God, and His name is Jesus Christ. Today, if it is you, as the one who's looking from the outside, wondering how to get in, as well as for those whose lives are currently covered by the blood, as they who on a daily basis are they who can come and experience a continual refreshing and that a renewing of their soul. I want that refreshing rain. I want that renewing of my spirit. The Bible says daily He loadeth us with benefits. Daily I can come before His throne of grace. Daily I can pour my heart out unto Him and He would renew me with His spirit. Today you have the opportunity to walk on a path that others have even feared to trod. To the saved as well as to the unsaved, the message of Calvary stands to be the same. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. So it was during the sharing of the old man's testimony that throughout the congregation that night, tears had begun to flow. Everyone knew the man that was talking at this time, but not many had really heard him tell of where it was that he had come from. Coming from a life of adverse poverty, being a victim of the addiction of alcohol, losing his first wife to cancer and one of his children at the hands of an evil soul. Bitter, did you say? Bitter. Bitter he grew in a bitter life he had led until the day that a young man knocked upon his door and told him about a Savior, one that had died upon an old rugged cross for the very likes of him. Upon inviting him, the young man, into his home, it was that young man who began to share the story of a tragic life of his own. Growing up in an abusive home, being thrown out onto the streets of a major city where he himself was forced to seek to provide for himself. This boy getting involved with drugs, stealing for his living, it was this young man who had grown up not only knowing the harsh hand of a world in his young life, but he also grew up in a world that showed him no pity. It was he one day that was given an invitation to a youth church event, and it was this young man who, thinking to himself, thought, hey, I wonder what it is I can take from them, you know, they who live a life far above my own. Wonder what I can get, what I could pawn, what I can get away with. On the first night of the youth service, it was this young man who learned about Calvary. It was he who for the first time heard that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was he who had come and in the end who had died so that he, whomever wanted this life, could also live. And on that night, instead of this young man looking for what it was he could take, it was Jesus Christ who had given to him something that no money or amount of money could ever afford to buy. Come tonight, the young man explained to the older man. Come to church and lay all your burdens and all your bitternesses upon the altar before God. And as the young man finished his visit with that other man, one last time, the boy said, see you tonight. Having left, it was the old man who went into his bedroom and fell upon his bed and he wept as though it were very bitter, bitter tears. It was this old man who, at that time, was he himself younger, who that night made his way to the church and who bore his soul unto a God who he had never at that time known. It was this man who rose from the steps of an altar before God, lifting up his hands and tears streaming down his face, and he began to speak in another tongue as it was God who gave them the utterance. He spoke in a language that he had never learned. That night, that man was baptized in Jesus' name, and it was that night that his bitterness was gone and that of his life would never, ever be the same. See, these stories can be repeated again and again from every walk of life, from every corner of this world, from every family, from almost every home. for those who make their way to an altar, those who coming out of lives of crime, those who come out of life of dysfunction, those who don't know what they're doing, they're the good old boy, you know, they really haven't done anything wrong, but they're lost and there's a hole within their hearts. There's a story of a man who made a supper and who the Bible says had bid many. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 14. This man had made a supper. He called for many to come. Luke chapter 14, and verses 16 through 24. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make an excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came, and he showed his lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, well, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which are bidden shall taste of my supper. You see, it's on this April the 12th, 2020, Easter Sunday afternoon, that I'm the one who invites you to turn your life over to only he who can calm the storms of life and to bring about in your soul a peace that passes all understanding. Pastor, I got the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I'm saved. What do I turn my life over to? Well, maybe it's you who's walking in the shadow of darkness. Maybe it's you who's beginning to live a life of fear and doubt. Maybe it's you who really isn't where you need to be. So I'm talking to you. To those on the outside, I'm talking to you. If you're currently hid under the cross, why don't you decide once and for all to be the one to give your life afresh and new to God, to that God who died for you on Calvary? Instead of being a fossil, why don't you be a flowing river? Instead of being one that just observed, why don't you begin to participate? Why don't you realize the gift that you have been given? The price of the life that was taken to give a life back to you is greater than you could afford. The lives of countless thousands, I believe the rest of testimony, a testimony of where you came from, a testimony and concerns to where it is that Jesus Christ in your life has brought you thus far. It is I today who's here to declare how that there stands to be so many more testimonies of lives who Jesus in his death, his burial, in resurrection desires to bring unto them and a life. If it wasn't for Calvary, I myself, as I've already made mention to, would have been brought to an early grave, living a wanton life, a reckless and an unconcerned life. It was Jesus Christ who stepped into that of my life, into my wife's life, into our world, and instead of death, it was Jesus Christ who gave to both of us life. In looking back over many years that I have lived my life for Jesus Christ without a position of authority that God had given to me, one where it is I who now is a pastor, I seek to show people the straight and this narrow road. The psalmist writes in the book of Psalms, chapter 84 and verse 10. Let's turn there. The book of Psalms, chapter 84. In verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. No matter where I am in the church, I'd rather be in the church. I know what it is to live outside of the church. I know what it's like to not have a friend, but Jesus said he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So whether you're here right now in this church house or you're listening in online, why don't you, if you know who Jesus is, if it's you who has experienced the blessing of a new life as a result of Calvary, why don't you take today, maybe take down a walk down that memory lane and just start thanking Jesus Christ for the very day that God stepped in your life and made you free. Go back. Go back in what you looked at. Go back to the place where you were living. I remember a time, there's a man in my growing up years and my younger years in the church, a man that I looked up and I revered very, very highly. And I wanted to pattern my life after this man, and I wanted to, you know, be like him, be popular, and everybody like you. And yet there came a time in this particular man's life when he took the wrong kind of a turn, and he ended up in a lot of trouble. And I was in the very camp meeting when this young man had walked into the church. He didn't look like he did when I knew him. He looked like he'd come off the street, but there he was on the side of the platform in a corner in a little altar of his own with his face hid in the carpet, crying his eyes out to God. And I walked over to him, and instead of saying, "You failed me and you blew it and you made such a mistake, you're disgusting," and no, I stood there and I put my hand on his shoulder and I began to pray for him, and I began to ask God to help him and to forgive him. And he was crying a whole lot louder than I was for that same mercy that came from God. When you realize the power that flows from Calvary, when you realize what the blood of Jesus Christ does, and it's that same young man who's an older man now, like myself, and he's living for God, and he's doing a work for God, and he's given his life back to God, a God that he knew and he walked away from, and a God that he returned to. If it's you who doesn't know Jesus Christ, is he or she who never felt a touch from the Master's hand, today your opportunity can unfold. Well, you sound like you're living in a dream world. You sound like you're offering something for sale. No, this truth ain't for sale. Jesus' blood isn't sold in an auction. It's applied to a life, to a sinful life, and it makes them pure, and it makes them clean. So wherever you are and whoever you are, right up until now, this very day, I wonder, why don't you maybe stop and begin to cry out to Jesus Christ if you need to, for forgiveness and a desire for you to be able to experience a life and experience a new life. Today, Jesus can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Today, your destiny can be forever changed. Today, as a child of God, your experience can become new. It can be something that's vibrant, something that vibrates on the inside of you, something that you're proud of, and you square back your shoulders and you hold your head high. Not in the form of being proud, but an attitude of being forgiven. Let's stand together today. In the book of John, the Gospel, chapter 10, in the second portion of verse 10. Book of John, chapter 10, and verse 10, second portion. Jesus declares, "I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." Why don't you let this Easter be a time in your life when it's you who declares to the world in which you live, "He, Jesus Christ, is risen. He's risen indeed." If it wasn't for Calvary, oh friend, where would I be? Where would you be? Where would all of us be? See, all of us are they who need to thank God for the sacrifice, to thank God for the opportunity of being able to be and to become they who were free. For he who the Son makes free is free indeed. Online, and there you are in your front room, wherever you are, wherever your walk finds you today, why don't you find find that place to pray, why don't you begin to call upon a God who's been waiting to hear your cry? Why don't you look for that time in your life and say, God, I need a change. I need to be renewed. Today is a day that your salvation can begin. Today is a day that your soul can be renewed. Today is the day that Jesus Christ rose and walked into the life of thousands, so thousands and millions could be free. Why don't you pray right now? Talk to God. His forgiveness is renewing. The Holy Ghost, what are you lacking in your life?